Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to your Morning Boost, brought to you by AWB Education. Here, we amplify knowledge, widen reach, and broaden impact in education, delivering your daily dose of professional development. This program is sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now, get ready to amplify your day with your Morning Boost.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to your Morning Boost. Today, we're delivering some more actionable leadership insights, just like we do every single day. I want to extend a warm welcome back also to our returning special guest, Shannon Watson, founder and executive director of Majority in the Middle. Shannon, again, thank you for taking the time to lend your expertise to all of our school leaders out there listening to our show.
Happy to be here.
We're going to build on this discussion of internal staff conflict and kind of pivot to the public area. So we're going to focus a little bit on that highly sensitive work of communication, especially in a polarized meeting. I'm going to try to explore some, ways to manage some emotionally charged school board, community gatherings, all of the parts where we have that opportunity to really make a good step forward and to show our leadership within that community, which is all a big part of our job. That's for sure. So, Shannon, here's our question for today. School boards and community meetings are often flashpoints for extreme polarization and toxic rhetoric. What specific communication techniques should a leader use to actively de-escalate these settings and ensure that all voices feel heard without granting power or validation to the destructive behavior?
Good question. So I have worked in government affairs for a long time, and I got to learn some of these techniques from a woman who was the president of the city council in St. Paul for several years. And she also, her professional background before she ran for office was that she was a mediator. And so she ran great meetings.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And so one of the things that she would do is she would set the expectations from the start. And she would couch that around fairness. She would explain to everyone how things were going to work, how it was going to go. And so it was, you know, you have 2 minutes or 3 minutes, whatever. Everybody has 3 minutes. And, you know, these are the kind of comments, you know, like, again, the city council, people couldn't come up and ask questions of that, you know, the council wouldn't respond. And so, like, letting the people know that ahead of time that, you know, we're here to take your comments. We can't get into discussion. That's not the way that we do it. So if you do have a question, there's a different route to submit that if you're looking for an answer. And just sort of getting everybody on the same page. And then if there are community standards, like, you know, we're not using profanity. Sometimes school boards have the benefit of there are often students in the room at school boards more often than there are students in the room at like city council or county commission.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes reminding people that they are setting the standard for, you know, developing minds and, you know, let's be the adults, that kind of thing. So setting those expectations up front and making sure that everybody understands and then asking, do you have any questions about how this is going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And allowing people to just make sure everybody is on the same page. The second thing, and this sort of goes along with setting those expectations, is making it clear that audience reactions are not appropriate. So applauding or booing or shouting or signage or whatever, those are not allowed. That's for everybody's enjoyment of the meeting and safety and all of those things. And then look, you know, sort of set the expectation that the audience itself, like, you all are participants in the meeting, and it is both your right and your responsibility to help us support those, you know, community standards, because then you empower the audience. It used to be that, and this was something that was alarming to me during COVID, you know, it used to be that people who were really wound up would come up and they would say sort of outlandish things, or they would get very angry at the council members. And most of the time, what would happen is the few people in the audience would sort of murmur behind their hands and be like, oh, that's not okay. During COVID, those things started being applauded.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really getting the audience to set the expectation and you know, sort of self-govern and expecting them to do that is helpful. And then the third thing, I think, it just is a sort of structural thing, is if it was, you know, we're having a hearing and these people are for and these people are against, alternating those people at the podium, you know, giving them you get 2 minutes for the, you know, people opposed and 2 minutes people for, and then the 2 minutes for opposed and the 2 minutes for. And that helps keep the rhetoric from escalating, because it keeps the other people from sort of winding each other up. It does more of a roller coaster, which it sounds insane that a roller coaster should be what you're aiming for.
Uh-huh.
But of course, when you're talking about de-escalating, you need to bring it down. Temperature's going to go up, bring it back down. Temperature up, bring it back down. So I think those are some of the things that can help just from a structural standpoint in keeping things under control.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Hill, a longtime educator of nearly 40 years as a teacher, counselor, professor, and vice principal, and I've seen just about everything public schools can throw at you. And now I'm sharing my tales on my comedy podcast, Vice Principal Unofficed. It's where school leadership meets laugh-out-loud stories, from underwear-required parent-teacher conferences, yes, really, to staff lounge confessions and more you won't believe. I'm telling it all with humor and a whole lot of heart. I also tackle the serious stuff too, like what schools really need to change and those behind-the-scenes moments no one talks about. So if you're ready to laugh, learn, and maybe even cry a little, but mostly laugh, join me and my 90-year-old mom, my unofficial co-host, on Vice Principal Unofficed. New episodes drop bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Trust me, this is one detention you'll actually look forward to.
Well, I think this is a good reminder. This isn't something that we do every day. That also means that our crew in the audience, if you want to call it them, they don't do this every day either.
Right.
Take it, like you said, taking that time to really establish what the expectations are, teach people how this should work, how we can be civil together. We can talk through what the, you know, what the issues are. But I like that idea. I think we do need to be very cognizant of the fact that they don't know what they're doing either at this point in time. This is new for everybody.
Right. And then the, you know, sticking with those rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I watched her cut off a lot of people who were going over their 2 minutes, but, you know, very gently, thank you for your comments. And then the other thing that she did, which I thought was fabulous, was thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your comments.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the same language every time, but it was the same tone every time. You had no idea where she stood on a lot of these issues based on how she approached the people who were coming to give public testimony. She was just as warm to the people she agreed with as the ones she disagreed with.
Yeah. Well, it's a good reminder, too. In moments like this, we want to be the eye of the storm, because remember, that's the calmest place in the big storm. So be the eye in that moment.
There you
go. That's awesome. That's awesome, Shannon. I appreciate this one again. It's just great, great advice for our school leaders. Even little bits of this are going to help us in those times that can be stressful, but yet very important when it comes to how we work as a society and how that civil process works, even within our schools. So
Yeah. Thank
you very much for those words of encouragement today. Thank you, Boosters, for joining us again. We'll be back again tomorrow, as we get closer to wrapping up this week with Shannon Watson. So again, thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.
That concludes another episode of Your Morning Boost. We hope today's daily dose of professional development helps you amplify knowledge, widen reach, and broaden impact. Your Morning Boost is an AWB education production brought to you with the generous support of Grundmeier Leader Services. Join us again tomorrow for more. Until then, keep boosting your impact.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.